Let us pray. Father, may the words from my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We pick up our story of Noah and his family after the rains had stopped. The water covered the earth to a depth of 25 feet over the highest mountain. The water did not start going down for 150 days, and it was another 150 days before the water had receded enough so that the ark could come to rest on a mountain in the Ararat range, in what we know today as the Caucasus in eastern Turkey. The first mountains, which were not visible until the first day of the 10th month after the rains had stopped. And then, after 40 more days, Noah opened a window. Fresh air at last. And we're worrying about a little stay-at-home order that had been in effect for 90 days. Can you imagine what it smelled like inside that stuffy, closed-in ark after 10 months with all those animals and birds? God knows how to test man's patience, doesn't he? Noah was 601 years old when he stepped out of the ark onto dry land. 601 when he started over, along with his wife, three sons, and their three wives. They were all the people left on the earth alive. All future human beings on earth would be descended from one of these three sons. That's the story. That's the responsibility God handed them. If you accept this story, then every human being today, whether pink, brown, blue, black, green, yellow, or whatever, whether tall, short, skinny, fat, hairy, or bald, is from one family. We are all one under the skin. Think about it for a moment. Now, what's all the fuss about? Maybe it's time for humankind to start over again. Noah did, and he lived to be 950 years old. Maybe the start we need is to remember the principle that we are all from the same family, and that our Father, God Almighty, is still in charge of the family. Genesis was one of the books of the Bible written by the Deuteronomists around the year 600 B.C. The stories that it contains survived as campfire stories over the generations before there was written word and historian to record events as they happened. Some people treat these books as literal truth, handed down intact in their accuracy by God. Others see them as novelty reference material and treat the details contained as questionable material, unless it can be substantiated by events and other empirical evidence from the time, like, for instance, carvings in a cave, or on a tomb, or on an obelisk. Over the years, archaeologists and historians have been able to piece together a pretty credible body of evidence that many of the campfire stories were remarkably accurate, and the actual events uncovered throughout the Middle East. With these revelations, the campfire stories have enjoyed renewed interest and believability. I accept them as instructional and a valuable part of the story of humankind and of the Jewish people, from which Christianity emerged. Getting back to our theme, there are many examples of instances in these early books of the Old Testament where God directly interacted with his people to influence the history of human social and spiritual development. The story of Noah is just one such tale, but it fits well in the context of what is happening in our streets and political campuses worldwide today. It provides a strong argument against any type of racism, bigotry, or supremacy thinking. We are all one family in our origins. Perhaps we remember this and start over. I truly hope all the marching by the young people of the world today is an indication that they get it, that the change in attitude which is holding humankind back in so many fronts can possibly finally take hold in a generational change that is lasting and biblical in its roots. One does not need to be Christian to be spiritual, but one does need to be spiritual to be Christian. If not, then you're not. Being spiritual is anchored in the understanding that we are truly all one family of mankind, equally created by God the Father in His likeness and image. When we act from that principle and make every choice from that perspective, then we will see this seismic and lasting change in the world. Our second reading today was from Acts. Jesus had just ascended into heaven, and the disciples were feeling very leaderless, despite Jesus assuring them that he was still with them, and that he would soon send them help in the form of the Holy Spirit. From this point on, they became known as apostles. They had been told by Jesus, with his parting words, that the times and occasions are set by my Father's own authority, and it is not for you to know when they will be. The day of Pentecost was the beginning, and it happened suddenly, with the rush of the wind and the flash of light. The Holy Spirit had arrived in man. For the believers, life was never the same again. Our second passage in Acts tells us how different life really was. As we heard in Acts 2, verses 43 to 47, how many of you said, "No way, that wouldn't happen"? How many of you could see in those times, or in these times, behaving in such a way? Are you prepared to sell all your possessions and turn the money over to the church and trust it to provide for your needs and also the need of everyone else? That is a tough ask, isn't it? The hippie and the flower children of the late 1960s and 1970s tried to develop such a culture, but it didn't last. It couldn't survive surrounded by suspicion, greed, bigotry, misogyny, and jealousy, and hate. But it did last in the apostles' time, long enough for the Christian faith to emerge, originally considered as just a Jewish sect, and later given its own recognition as Christ one. It survived because God caused it to survive. Jesus had planted the seeds of compassion and love and set up the fertile ground of hope and healing so that when the Holy Spirit arrived in men's and women's hearts, they saw beyond their material circumstances and opened their hearts to the possibility that humankind could be loving, kind, patient, joyful, peaceful, humble, compassionate, faithful, and managed. Self-control. We are reminded in Galatians 5, verses 25 and 26, that the Spirit has given us life. He must also control our lives. We must not be proud or irritate one another or be jealous of one another. What a radical way to live. The marchers today must see this way of life as a possibility. Otherwise, they are just disgruntled troublemakers and misfits looking to spoil as much as they can in society that they see themselves caught up in. Maybe in the beginning, the marches were infiltrated by agitators looking to destroy. But the last two or three weeks have evolved into something different. You can sense the real change that is in the air. Remember what I have told you before. It is out of chaos that God brings change. I pray that the peaceful chaos we are seeing sweeping the world now, from its beginnings in Minnesota and the steps of the Capitol building in Washington, will bring lasting change to the way we are policed and to the way we systematize racism and prejudice in our communities. The churches are not blameless in this hypocrisy. It has been said by many clerics that Sunday morning is the most segregated time of the week in America. I know this is true. I have seen it firsthand. We need to guard against this cancer invading our own church body. It can happen so easily. The safeguard is prayer and constant listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to us. If we look away from the things of this world and focus on the things of the Spirit, we will not fail. Remember what Jesus taught, that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. As a friend of mine used to say, just passing through. We have a higher purpose and a destination in mind. Today, as I said earlier, is Father's Day. We remember and salute all of the men in our lives who have had a hand in molding us and keeping us. We remember with reverence and a humble heart the constant love we experience from our Father in Heaven, who is in control, even when there doesn't appear to be any control. God sometimes has to act in big ways to get our attention and have us focus on His grand design for His creation. Through history, mankind has been given the opportunity to start over, to begin again. Recent events with the COVID-19, the protest marches, global financial shakeup, tell us that God has something big planned for us in the future. Be ready for it with your spiritual intelligence tuned in.